I didn't have my lead connected. It's now connected, and we will resume. So we've come on to the second part of our passage. It will be quicker than the first. Most men will proclaim evil. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Self-realization and self-understanding are such important qualities that we can see ourselves as we really are, not as we would like to be but aren't, which is so often the case, isn't it? With so many of us are self-deluded on a number of fronts, aren't we? And that's why we're very good at criticizing other people, because actually it's a way of justifying ourselves, when if we look properly at ourselves in the mirror of God's word, we would see so often that the fault lies with us and not with the other person. And in particular, it is relevant to our standing or our perceived standing before God. How often we have been deceived about how good we are. Even in the last 24 hours, I can identify times when I have wanted others to know how good I am. I don't know about you too. How many people have you spoken to on another level who refuse to accept they're bad people? Who think they're quite good actually, and that they're not sinners, and that God won't judge them negatively? Think of Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 10. In verse 31, we read that Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart. For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Yet, earlier in the chapter, in verse 16, he said to Jehonadab, the Rechabite, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Obviously, he'd forgotten the Lord had said through Samuel to Saul. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. How often we are to multiply and to justify ourselves by our good works, while our hearts are far from the Lord. Think of the Pharisee who stood up and proclaimed his righteousness to God in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12, probably from a street corner, certainly in public, where other people could hear him. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. He was totally deceived about his state, even as he prayed. In the words of Charles Bridges, Lord, teach me to remember that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. In other words, many would have looked at that Pharisee and thought he was a holy, righteous man. And often we look at that, don't we? We look at priests, Catholic priests, Anglican priests, dressed up in their finery, praying long prayers, appearing holy, and they're treated by the world as holy, whereas their hearts are corrupt. Until, of course, scandals come out, horrifying and shocking even the world. Sadly, although the Pharisees' folly and hypocrisy is so obvious to us, and we're quick to condemn it, yet how often do we seek likewise the approval of the world? We try and look good amongst those we ought to be witnessing to and showing them by our actions that they're the ones who need to change. And how quick are we to ensure that others associate us with some good work in the church or in our daily lives? We're very eager to take credit for ourselves, which we don't really deserve. And yet, at the same time, we often, in Charles Bridges' words, shrink from the reproach of the gospel. Whereas it should be the other way around, we should be pleased to accept the reproach of the gospel, and we should be slow to take credit for anything. We should truly try and give credit to others and avoid ourselves being in the spotlight. How often do we fail on that front? In our verse, Solomon contrasts this self-complacent attitude, this attitude of self-approval, with the faithful man. But a faithful man who can find, as if he always gives up. Is there a faithful man out there? It doesn't seem to be. In Micah 7, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net." That's the state of Israel in Micah's day. We must make sure that we don't take grace for granted. In other words, that we don't sin, that grace may increase and abound, which is what we're warned about in Romans chapter 6, the beginning, isn't it? A sinful Christian is a contradiction in terms. We know that without faith, without works, is dead. If we don't show our faith by our works, and often that's our works mean actually self-effacing, giving the credit to others, not taking it for ourselves, showing truly that we are humble and more in fear of God than in fear of man. That's the works of a true Christian, isn't it? How often do we fail on that count? Consider Psalm 101, which we sung earlier. Verse 6, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord," we read in Hebrews. And yet, so often we let holiness slip, don't we? As Charles Bridges wrote, "For indeed, what can bring greater honor to God than the proof manifested in the conduct of his people, that their daily transactions are animated with the soul of integrity, that their word is unchangeable? Never does godliness shine more bright than in showing all good fidelity in all things." I don't know if you remember, you probably don't, you're probably all too young, but there was, wasn't there a hi-fi system called Fidelity, meaning faithful? It was a good system you could rely upon. But we should be that people, shouldn't we? We should be faithful people. People should say of us, "There's fidelity." Could have been a name, could have been, or it isn't, a name from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, couldn't it? There was faithful. That's what fidelity means, isn't it? Doesn't it? Are we faithful? Do we show all good fidelity in all that we do? There's a reliable Christian. He's true to his word. She's true to her word. Titus 2, verse 10. "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." That's what we're called to do, to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I mean, it's rather like in your house, in your home. I don't know if you like flowers, but flowers adorn the sitting room, don't they? You've got flowers, and pictures adorn the walls, and they make the place a pleasant place to live in. It's the same in your garden. I went to somebody's garden a couple of weeks ago, and that garden adorned the house that we were in. It was a lovely place to be until it rained. But you see, we are to be like that well-kept garden. When we're to be like the pictures on the wall, in our drawing rooms, in our living rooms, like the flowers in the vase on the dining room table, the kitchen table, adorning the gospel of God by our faithfulness. So let's go back as we draw to a close. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. That can be good and bad. We can hide our true intentions, or as we draw from the wells of salvation, so we become men and women of substance and depth, because we're full of the word of God and we're full of truth. And people will come to us to draw those truths out of us. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, we grow in understanding. Understanding of God's word, and as a result, understanding of other people. Both for good and bad. Help us to see what they're really like. They say, if you are dealing in forgery, that you don't spend a lot of time focusing on forged banknotes, but you spend most of your time on the genuine article, because the more you know about the genuine article, the easier it is to spot the forgery. So it is with us, the more time we spend with God's people, in God's word, learning from it, in prayer, living Christian lives, the more we will grow in faithfulness, the more we will be able to see other genuine Christians and those who aren't as genuine. We will be given understanding greater than our enemies. And then, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That's what most people do. It's not what the Christian does. He points to Christ, she points to Christ, and we don't spend our time blowing our trumpets. So easy to do it, isn't it? People can see what we've done. But what matters is that God sees what we've done, and that we do things in private, that we might be rewarded by the Lord in his due time, by him, not have our reward here in this life. But a faithful man who can find. Well, there are faithful men, aren't there? We find them in the Bible. And we can be faithful if we are true to God's word and we put it in practice and we look to him for grace, not grace constantly to be forgiving our sins as we allow grace to abound as we carry on in sin, but rather we cease from sin. We crucify the old nature. We put on Christ. And we grow in faithfulness, and therefore our lives adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us, strengthen us as we go on with the Lord. Amen. My apologies for forgetting to plug my computer in for the reading starts. I'm sorry that it's taken us longer than it needs. And my apologies particularly to those online.